Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
I'm not going to lie to you. We're going to have about 10 pounds of shit to stuff in a 5-pound bag, so there's no reason to even have a cold open. We just got to get the football.
Deal.
You ironically do this every time, but I also think you know exactly what you're doing.
No, this time, I don't even care if he puts this in. Let's go.
That was the cold open.
Oh, okay, I understand, but let's go.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hello. Welcome to a very special edition of Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's college football podcast brought to you by the good folks at High Noon Hard Seltzer.
Why is this so special?
They have, Katie, don't mess with my gate right now, okay? They have the tailgate pack with the pear and the cranberry and everything. They got the best flavors. They're the best tailgate drink. They're the best college football drink. High Noon. Get it in stores across this country. Nooners, baby. Nooners. Yes, Casey Smith? Nooners.
Nooners.
You wow, have Casey, your mic works.
Oh, my mic does work. Yeah. Yes.
Again, Jack, we're sorry about that. And won't happen again. But
thank you for pressing the on button, because apparently that's all you had to do, Jack.
Yes, I know. Brandon wasn't there to remind me of my one job.
I mean, a lot of people are saying Brandon Walker doesn't show up for one show and the whole thing goes to shit.
Like that's the first show you've missed.
Hey, relax. Everybody relax. Everybody calm down. It's fine. It's fine out here. Okay.
USC just scored to go up 10-7.
10-7. We got USC and Oregon State in the late third quarter, maybe early fourth by this point. But most of the action, most of the hay is in the barn for college football. We'll allow USC to kind of take shape as we go forward in this night. But we had to get going because week four, did it look like the prettiest painting on the wall going in? No. Did it give us an absolutely enthralling weekend of upsets and surprises and shit the bed moments and teams getting exposed and players stepping up and being heroes? Yes, yes, yes. Once again, Casey Smith, a phenomenal Saturday of college football.
Phenomenal. And a lot of things we didn't think were going to happen, a lot of things that should have happened that maybe didn't. But I will say, first and foremost, that to top off the phenomenal weekend, we did go to Knoxville on the college football show, which feels like it was like 4 days ago at this point.
Right.
Also a phenomenal show. Just phenomenal across the board.
I have broken this week's recap, as it were, into three sections. I think there was a lot of good on Saturday. We're going to highlight the good. We're going to highlight the bad, and buddy, we're going to highlight the ugly. And I think Jack Mack's going to have a certain team he's going to talk to during the ugly segment. Am I right, Jack Mack?
Yeah, we'll get there.
We will get there. We got a lot to get to. I will just say this before I get to the good, the bad, and the ugly of week four of college football. It's hard to hide what you are after 4 weeks. Mm. If we've seen, you know, you can hide in week one. You can hide in week one and two. You can hide behind a bad non-conference schedule or a bad couple of conference games. You can hide behind a lot of things. But through 4 weeks, teams are really starting to show you who they are. Teams coming into this week that we thought were very, very strong might not be as strong. And it's one of those enlightening, because we're really about to transition into the real part of college football, right, where it's conference play only. But, buddy, we got a lot of conferences and a lot of disarray. We got a lot of balls still floating in the air. We got a lot of surprises on Saturday. I don't even want to open it up. Let's just go right to it. This is how I'm going to start. I'm going to go good, bad, and ugly, okay? The good. I think we should start in Knoxville, Tennessee. I think all eyeballs were on the Tennessee Volunteers and the Florida Gators. ESPN Game Day was there. The Barstool College Football Show was there. CBS 330 game was there. Tennessee had played its way up. And what were they, 11th, I believe? They were number 11 in the AP poll. They're number 11 in the AP poll. This was one of their biggest moments in a long time. And they, I don't know if they passed with flying colors, but they passed. It was a loud Neyland Stadium. It was a huge, raucous atmosphere. And we're going to get to Kansas State, Oklahoma. We're going to get to Arkansas A&M. We're going to get to everybody. So just don't worry. We're just starting in Knoxville, Tennessee. Casey Smith, beautiful scene in Knoxville on Saturday.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, regardless of what you look at in a vacuum for this year with these two teams, we talked about it on the show today. We talked about it last week on Unnecessary Roughness itself. It's like the history between these two teams, the recent history, Florida just owns Tennessee. It does not matter what either side looks like. They had won 16 of the last 17. And it was just that game that they could not get over the hump. Tennessee couldn't. No matter how they won today, even though there were definitely some head-scratching moments for both teams, and obviously it came down to the wire and a weird back door and the whole thing, Tennessee won, and that's what matters. And Hendon Hooker played really well, and that's what matters.
I don't think he just played really well. I think if you were 4 weeks in. I mean, basically, we'll probably recap September on our next show because September is over as far as college football goes. I think if you were to say a top five of Heisman contenders right now, Hendon Hooker is on the list. And if I had to list the Heisman performances, the Heisman moments so far, Hendon Hooker on Saturday, 349 passing yards, two touchdowns, 112 rushing yards, a touchdown. Just my quick math, I believe that's 461 total yards, three touchdowns in a spot where his team had to have it. He was the best player on the field. Hendon Hooker, one of the absolute best quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, it's why the Heisman list gets so interesting right around now, like you mentioned. I mean, college football is in full swing, but also once you get into October, you know, we know the typical names. We know who coming into the season, who we were going to be looking at. Those guys are still up there. You know, like you've got Caleb Williams, you've got CJ Stroud, you go down Bryce Young, the whole thing. But then Hendon Hooker is somebody that we were looking at going into the season. I don't think I would have put him high up on the Heisman list, but when he had a game like he did today against a team like Florida, where the whole world was watching, he has to skyrocket up a little bit. Where I would put him, I'm not sure. Yeah. He's definitely higher than I expected him to be in week 4.
I think he's certainly at the forefront of the conversation right now. Of course, with, you know, Heisman is something that's going to take care of itself down the way. Really, all you got to worry about with Hendon Hooker is the fact that he delivered in a gigantic spot for his team. And shout out to Anthony Richardson. He had a tough couple of weeks. He was incredible today too. So it was a day filled with heroic quarterback efforts. Just across the board, we'll get to Adrian Martinez later. We will get to DJ Uiagalelei later. We will get to Jalen Daniels later. We will get to all these guys that put the team on their back. And there were two in Knoxville today. Anthony Richardson came up a little short, lost by 5, but he was great. Hendon Hooker was great. And now the entire season, the path is laid bare for Tennessee. If they can, they got a week off. If they can go to LSU and win, they're going to be undefeated when Alabama comes in. And if you thought this Saturday was a spectacle, let them be undefeated when Alabama comes into Knoxville in a couple of weeks. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's move on to some more good, okay? The Clemson Tigers. I don't know if I think we do hold Clemson to an unfair standard. I think some people would see their 51-45 overtime win over Wake as maybe a sign of weakness, but I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's the case. Maybe Clemson is no longer head and shoulders 10 times better than everybody else in the ACC. Well, for one, the ACC's gotten a lot better around them. I mean, this ain't the Wake Forest from 5 years ago. This is a good Wake Forest team. Clemson went on the road with an offense that had been facing a lot of questions. They had a career performance from their quarterback, DJ, 371 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 52 yards on the ground. That's 423 yards and 5 touchdowns. DJ answered the bell. Maybe some people would say this Clemson showed a little weakness. I don't think so. I think Clemson went into a tough team, a top 25 team in this country on the road, and won a very tough game.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you said that, like, it's just a different way that Clemson's winning. And I fall victim to this a lot. I think that when I see Clemson versus Wake Forest, even though Wake was ranked and they have Sam Hartman and the whole thing. I am always like, well, no, Clemson is going to cover this and maybe not cover it easily from the get-go, but by the end of the game, they'll be fine. And that's just because when Clemson was beating the entire conference and beating the shit out of the entire conference, that's just the way they were doing it week in and week out. To me, it's not a knock against Clemson that they had to take it into overtime and that they won the way they did. It's a credit to the rest of the conference, like you said. And that's something that I still haven't wrapped my head fully around when I'm picking these games. Now, every single week when we see it happen, and like you mentioned, the offense stepped up, we know how good the defense is, I have to be like, oh, this isn't a bad Clemson team. This is a better conference that Clemson is now playing in, and they're still winning. So I agree with that completely. And also just the way that this game unfolded, it was awesome. Like just the back and forth. And these are the types of games you want to see in conference play, especially if you don't have, you know, a dog in the race or horse in the race or whatever you want to say. And that's what we saw with this game.
Jack, I have a question for you. You're a learned observer of college football, are you not?
Yes. No, thank you.
Do you think Clemson is maybe held to their own personal standard more than any team in the country? Because they really haven't been pushed by a conference in recent years, when Clemson doesn't look like the swinging dick juggernaut they were 3 years ago, people act like they're not very good, even though I'm not sure that's fair.
No, I'm thinking about it now, and we even talked about this a few times over the past few shows where in the preseason we had people on saying, oh, we got to see what Dabo does this year. No, we don't. We didn't have to see what Dabo had to do this year because he's made how many national championships over the past 7 years? He also has put together how many top 10 recruiting classes? He puts out how many NFL players? That being said, Clemson does get held to a standard, but I think it's because everyone wants to see them lose because they win so much. It's kind of similar to Alabama. It's kind of similar to Oklahoma, who we'll get to. And a little bit similar to Ohio State. It's like Ohio State only won by 11 against Notre Dame, and we were like, oh, is this team really that good? And then a few weeks later, and I'm sure we'll get to Ohio State, they put up 52 points on Wisconsin. So it's, I think people hold the top-tier teams to a standard, and that's fair. Because if you don't, who, like, what standard
why
are we getting?
Why are they top-tier teams?
Yeah, why are they top-tier teams?
So my thing about Clemson right now is, this was the biggest two-week stretch of the season for them. They just passed the first test. Next week, they go home in Death Valley, or what they call Death Valley, and they have NC State, a very good team, coming in. Probably the game of the year in the ACC. No. It's not probably. This is the game of the year in the ACC, and if Clemson wins this game, boy, the ball is rolling downhill pretty good for them to be in that playoff mix at the end of the season. They still got a road trip to Florida State. But other than that,
the Syracuse game will be difficult. It's at Syracuse. I'm not saying they should lose it.
It's not.
What?
Unless I'm reading the wrong schedule, Clemson plays Syracuse at Clemson. I got Clemson winning a home game against NC State, a road game against Boston College, a road game against Florida State.
Versus Clemson.
I think NC State goes to Syracuse.
Yeah, I was wrong. I apologize.
That's all right.
It's all right. Jack, it's late. Jack,
this is the night that Arkansas lost.
Okay, this is the night.
There's no shame in tonight. This is a happy night.
No, 100%. You know who threw for 6 touchdowns today?
We're gonna get to, who threw for 6 touchdowns today?
Will Rogers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to him.
Before we move away.
No, hold on. Before we move away, I got one thing, too. Everybody's got their hand raised. Katie, you go first.
Am I the only person, and I'm going to say this, I know I only saw bits and pieces because in and out of the RV, but just, I thought we were so high on Clemson's defense, and I feel like no one's saying anything how they let up four. I know Sam Hartman, I know Wake Forest has a good offense. I think they have a good, strong offense. I don't think they have a spectacular. What I'm hearing, I feel like we're really downplaying the fact that they let, 45 points. I'm shocked by that.
I'll give you one. If you're an elite defense, I'll give you one. Like, if that happens again, if NC State puts, 30 on them, that was an overrated defense. And I think you're short shrifting, I think you're kind of downplaying Wake Forest offense. It's pretty elite. Like, Sam Hartman's a very good quarterback. A.T. Perry's a great receiver. Like, they can score points.
Yes. And it was –
But it's worthy of a concern. I would have expected Clemson to play better defensively, but I'm going to give them one.
Yes, when I say that, it's more not a knock really on Wake, but it's more of a knock on Clemson. I thought Clemson's defense was that elite, and I saw the box. I'm just shocked and really have to reconsider what I think about their defense.
Yeah, well,
I know it's a one-off, but
in a world where Georgia's defense gave up 22 to Kent State today, I'm just confused as hell about the state of defense in this country. So, Casey Smith, you had your hand raised.
Well, I know when we've talked about Clemson a lot, because we do hold them to unrealistic standards. What I was going to ask you, because I know Jack has been talking about DJ and talking about this offense, and we talked about it last week going into this game. Do you think now, and I know that, you know, again, it's week to week, we'll say this, and their defense did give up some points, but now where do you stand with DJ being the guy for the rest of the season? I mean, you've got to feel pretty.
I want to answer that question by raising my point too, to add to what you just asked. I had Clemson fans in my DM saying, aha, see, DJ is good. DJ, what do you got to say about DJ now, huh? What do you guys have to say about DJ? I saw Clemson fans owning this on Twitter. Clemson fans, the people that were the most savage and the biggest assholes to DJ were you guys. You guys were the ones saying, well, where's Cade? Start Cade, do Cade, all this stuff. You guys are the ones that are saying you're not going to be able to get there with DJ. Now, he has a great game, and props to him. I feel like you guys are the ones that have to turn more than I got to turn, because I'm not sure I thought he was going to be very good, and this is his best performance to date. But, boy, Clemson fans absolutely can't come from the spot of, well, we believed in our guy, why don't you? Because you didn't believe in him either. Now, I think DJ Uiagalelei firmly took this job and doesn't have to worry about Cade until something happens. Like, if he comes out and lays a stinker against NC State, it's always a conversation. But for now, no worries at the quarterback position in my eyes.
I think it is worth noting about Clemson's defense that they were at without like five starters today, and specifically in the secondary where they really struggled. And Wake Forest has this special ability to throw the ball up in the air short and the wide receivers to stop running and then just go up in the air and then get called for a pass interference. So Clemson without three of their secondary members and then also Xavier Thomas and Trey Williams. Shout out Trey Williams. He went to high school with my sister. Those are all big like holes for Clemson on defense. So you could say it's a one-off and without injuries, and I know everyone has injuries, but without injuries, you could say like, oh, maybe they'll be better next week.
Now, we move on from the Clemson Tigers. We move on to the
where do you want to go?
Huh?
Where do you want to go?
There's just so many teams that did well today. Let's go to the Kansas State Wildcats. Let's go to a team that lost to Tulane last week in embarrassing fashion. And a lot of people threw them out for dead. I think I certainly was one. I didn't think a team that lost to Tulane was going to be able to come back with a pulse. And they walk into an Oklahoma stadium where Oklahoma was absolutely feeling themselves after embarrassing Nebraska last week, after just, boy, really thumping their chest and saying, this is a different team, this is a different team, this is a different team. They went out and did the exact same thing they've been doing against Kansas State for years now. I don't know what it is about Kansas State. I don't know if it's just they play a more physical style, if they're just cursed or what it is. But Oklahoma comes out and makes Adrian Martinez look like the greatest quarterback in the history of college football. Kansas State walks into Norman and knocks off the number six team in the country, Oklahoma. Stop me if that's a broken record, because I feel like we've said it many times on this podcast.
It's a broken record, but it still feels different. And, you know, like you said, you were certainly one of those people that kind of buried K-State, which I don't think is a crazy thing to do when you lose to Tulane. Like, I think that that's a pretty normal thing to do. I'm going to take that the step further. Is the reason it feels like less of a broken record, even though on paper, yes, it's Oklahoma and it's Kansas State. I mean, I was sitting here after the Nebraska win for Oklahoma and being like, well, you know, like Nebraska's really bad, but this Oklahoma team, you know, with Venables and with all the changes they've made, like they're not going to be in these letdown spots like we've seen them before. Does that mean that they're going to win the Big 12? I think so. Does that mean it's going to be perfect? No. So there was zero doubt in my mind that Oklahoma was going to win this game. And then the way that they lost, and you mentioned Adrian Martinez, like not even just like Adrian Martinez, the passer, Adrian Martinez on the ground. Like, it was just like, he was the best quarterback we've ever seen tonight. And that to me was surprising because I just didn't think that this new era of the Oklahoma Sooners had that in them with a team that just lost to Tulane.
Well, here's the thing. I assume what we saw last week would be emblematic of what we'd see going forward. I think Brent Venables, one of his ways to change the culture and change the program is to make them tougher defensively and to get rid of their lackadaisical tackling, their missed assignments, all the things that plagued them under Lincoln Riley. When they would get beat, they would have missed tackles. They would look out of place on defense. They would give up long runs to quarterbacks. And that's everything I just said came up tonight. Third and 16 tonight, they're down 7 points late in the fourth quarter. Adrian Martinez has the ball. This is not Joe Montana. This is not Tom Brady. This is not Michael Vick. Adrian Martinez has the ball. Third and 16, Oklahoma looks like they have never defended a quarterback. He runs right up the middle and down the sideline for 50 yards. Ball game. That's the same. That's the Lincoln Riley Oklahoma. Until they get that out of there, until they get that softness out of there, it's not Brent Venables' program. And I'll give him the first year. I mean, whatever. He's playing with a deck that somebody else put together. But it was disappointing to see them be the same old, at least for tonight. But for Kansas State, listen, this is the good section. This isn't the bad section. Kansas State got embarrassed last week. They lost a game they shouldn't have lost. They're a better team than that. They bounced back and went and beat a top 10 team on the road. This segment should be about Kansas State really more than Oklahoma. And
keep going, King.
And the Big 12. No idea. 4 weeks in, no idea. 4 weeks in, no idea. Oklahoma could win it. Kansas State, who doesn't have a Big 12 loss, could win it. Oklahoma State, probably the safest bet right now. They're chugging right along. But, buddy, oh, there's a team in Austin, when they get the right quarterback back, they're going to be problems for the rest of it. Big 12's very interesting. I don't know. I don't want to talk about playoff. I don't want to talk about any of that. I'm just talking about the race to determine who the best team in the Big 12 is going to be. Very interesting.
When Kansas State lost last week, we said, okay, all the hype around Kansas State seemed like it was a little bit premature. And again, when you lose to Tulane, I don't think that that's some crazy, like, old take. Like, I think that's a fair thing to say in the moment. When Texas lost today to Texas Tech, my immediate reaction, and I was too caught up in everything else that was going on with the game that I cared about the most, but was like, oh, okay, well, now we know Oklahoma just punched their ticket to win the Big 12 championship, and we'll see what happens with the rest of the playoff. And you're right. Like, forget the playoff. Forget what happens in December and January. Like, as of right now, gun to my head, if you said, who is the best team in the Big 12, who do you think is going to win after what's happened the last couple of weeks? Like, I still think that I would put Oklahoma there, but is that, am I just TCU. Doing that because they're Oklahoma?
TCU's the best team in the Big 12.
I don't know. And listen, Jack, that's fine. I don't know how you could possibly say TCU's the very best team in the Big 12.
I love Sonny Dykes. I think they have phenomenal talent. And they also have had an impressive start to the season. Impressive win today and impressive road win to start the season at Colorado. Took care of business, won 38-6.
I don't know. It's an impressive win at Colorado. Colorado's the worst team in Division I.
Yeah, but they took care of business there. And then SMU, is SMU bad?
SMU is not bad. It was a good win today. It was a good win.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's awful dismissive of, like, Oklahoma State to say that TCU is without a doubt.
Yeah, maybe Oklahoma State. Well, that they'll play each other, so we'll figure it out.
Let me say one more. They're probably not going to win the Big 12. Probably not going to be the best team in the Big 12. But through 4 weeks, are the Kansas Jayhawks the best story in the Big 12? Yeah, sure are.
Definitely.
They're 4-0. Their win total was 2.5. They passed that. They might pass it twice this year. Kansas plays relevant football, interesting football. They score points. They were in a big game today. They sold out their stadium. This is in year two of a coach. It's just when you hire the right coach, look at a place like Kansas. Look at a place like Auburn. When you they hired their coaches at the exact same time 2 years ago. When you hire the right one, look what's possible. When you hire the wrong one, look what's possible. This Kansas is evidence of what happens when you hire the right guy. He went into the worst program in football and has made them feel like winners with a 4-0 start. Jalen Daniels today, 19 of 23, 324 yards, 4 touchdowns, 83 yards on the ground, a touchdown. By my math, that is 407 yards, 5 touchdowns from a quarterback who nobody had heard of before this year. And it's just remarkable football, remarkable story for the Kansas Jayhawks. But I'm fronting. I got to stop.
What are you going to stop?
I've given credit to Clemson. I've given credit to
Tennessee.
I've given credit to Tennessee. But my God, ding dong, the witch is dead. We can finally stop pretending the Arkansas Razorbacks are a top 10 football team. I can't believe people fell for this. They beat a bad Cincinnati. They beat a bad South Carolina. They barely beat Missouri State last week. And tonight, even though on the play sheet they had more yards than A&M, but there was a quarter and a half stretch where they were god-awful enough to lose that football game. And boy, Casey, I don't like to talk A&M as much as we do, but you guys are super relevant because you played Miami last week and then you had this big win tonight. It was just so wonderful to see.
You know, I tweeted this.
Who told you it was going to happen?
You did.
I did.
You told me. Now, I will say, you know, I would love to have been sitting here and A&M had won by multiple touchdowns and I wasn't sweating it down to the end. Boy, like that doink was, I mean, literally, I think like the football gods, like whatever God you want to believe in, yeah, like that to me played into it because that, like, I knew coming down to that, I was like, this can't be easy. And like I've been saying, no matter who the better team is, no matter who the higher ranked team is, no matter who the favored team is, this game in Arlington is always weird. And the biggest play, and there was a lot of things you mentioned, like a quarter and a half where Arkansas couldn't do anything, a lot of injuries for A&M. The biggest thing that happened in that game is one of the weirdest things I've seen in a long time. And that was the fumble by KJ Jefferson when he was trying to leap over the goal line for God knows what reason.
About yards out.
Made absolutely no sense to me. Like, yeah, exactly. He wasn't on like the half yard line. He wasn't even on the 1 yard line. So leaps over, then A&M gets the recovery and the guy has the wherewithal to hand it off. Like that, that to me, like watching that happen was like, this is what happens in A&M Arkansas games. This is why it was so crazy. And that went from, that was a 20 point swing because A&M then went with 20 points unanswered, 23 points unanswered. And that was the difference in that game. Now there are a lot of things that came after that, but I mean, Arkansas, you're going to go up 21-7 and you're absolutely destroying everything that A&M has. The offense couldn't do shit. The fact they didn't have a first down in the first quarter is crazy. The defense couldn't stop anything. When you go into halftime only up by 1 point, that's not what the 10th team in the country does. And that's coming from somebody who watched A&M lose to App State as a number 10 or whatever team in the country, 6.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody after like number 3, it's just, we're going to be doing this all year. We're going to be doing this all year. And it's not that Arkansas is a fraud. It's not that Kentucky when they lose a fraud. It's not like, there's just not a whole lot of elite teams. And there's so much parity right now that the COVID, the transfer, everything has created every team. Everybody's pretty much the same after those 3 teams at the top. So this is going to happen. Now, I will say a couple things. The doink off the top is not only a once-in-a-lifetime moment in college football. I've never seen it in football. I've never seen it happen.
It happened earlier this year, actually.
Okay, Jack.
Well, it happened in Wyoming, Tulsa. Wyoming had a shot to win the game, and all it right, went Jack, off the
– This is a guy that tweets everything that happens in college football. Yes, okay, it technically happened, but not in a big moment like that.
It was 34-34. It was to win the game.
Let me help you out. Brandon, this is what you were trying to say. It's never happened in a game that you had so much invested in that you would have seen it happen.
I understand. I saw the now that he mentions it, I remember it.
I know. I was trying to help you out.
Oh my God. It's a top 10 team. It's a huge clash. And then whatever. It's a twice in a lifetime event in the span of the last month. Yes?
No. Yeah.
No, you're very sassy just a second ago.
No, it was just more funny that this has happened twice because I'd never seen it prior to this season.
It's 100%.
Crazy. Sassy Jack. It was fine.
We had this conversation like with social earlier when we saw this happen. Someone was like, I think I've seen this before. We had a whole...
That was me who said, I think I've seen this before.
One more thing. Smith, I told you were going to beat Miami. By the way, we're going to get to them later. I told you were going to beat Arkansas. You did. I told you Arkansas is about to lose their next four games. They are. But I don't know if tonight was about A&M being all that good. A&M still got a lot of problems. Oh. And Max Johnson, like, he's it. Like, he's the best answer they got, but he ain't it either. So it's A&M's weird because Jimbo kind of stinks.
Listen, you are not going to – as again, I would love to have a different attitude and vibe coming into this because they beat Arkansas, and Arkansas fans are melting down right now on Twitter, which we knew would happen. But you're right. A&M has a ton of problems. They couldn't get out of their own way. Even whenever they were up, the penalties were terrible. Max Johnson made some great plays and then some horrible missed throws. So there's a lot to digest. I think I take away more so that Arkansas is not as good as they thought they were. And A&M is, being 23rd in the country and beating the number 10 team, they're much closer in ranking, I think, than we thought that they were.
Once again, I told you the top three teams, but in the SEC West, there's Alabama, and then there's six teams that are all the exact same team. And they're going to be beating each other all year.
Yeah, I don't know how you fix the situation with the offense. I mean, the defense obviously gave up a bunch of plays. The defense totally
I know you fix it, Casey.
Good. Get another quarterback?
You get a quarterback. I don't know how you
– They have a five-star quarterback on the roster.
Well, you need to get him ready because that's how you fix it.
Now you got to call Malachi Nelson and say, hey, I know we already offered you $15 million. Let's make that $25 million.
Because you got talented receivers, you got talented running backs, you got talented everything. You just don't have a quarterback right now.
Here's my question for
you. I don't know how this game didn't go over. I have no idea how this game didn't go over. Oh,
I mean, again, weird shit happens in Arlington, always, no matter what. My question for you guys with Arkansas, and coming from, I would love to sit here and dunk all over Arkansas fans, but I can't, even though A&M won, which is great, and I'm going to use that, it's not like A&M was like, leaps and bounds better than Arkansas all night. There were definitely moments, but my question is where does Arkansas kind of level out now?
I think they're going to go 8-4. I think they're a solid team. I think they're a good team. I think they're very talented. Here's the thing. You can solve the Arkansas equation at the line of scrimmage on both sides. If you can block them, you can beat them because they suck on the back end defensively. If you can block them up front, you can beat them. They rely on havoc. They lead the SEC in sacks. They're incredible getting after the quarterback. But if you block them, they're beat. And on the other side, if you can keep KJ in the box and stifle his running game, he can't beat you over the top. He doesn't have Treylon Burks. So they're easy to figure out. They're a good team with solid fundamentals that is fundamentally flawed because they can't go over the back end of their offense and the back end of their defense are both problem areas. So they're good. They're just not as good as they wanted to be. And that's fine. And Arkansas fans, you can hate on me. You can call me whatever. I just told you gospel ass truth. That's the truth.
Well, I mean, again, not, we were classier per se in what we talk about with each other sometimes, but the Arkansas fans are doing the opposite of what most fans, every fan would try to find a reason to talk shit right now. There's no doubt. I mean, that's the fun part of Twitter. And when you're separating the Arkansas fan base versus Arkansas Twitter or anything, but we talked about it in Knoxville today, Vol Twitter versus the Tennessee fan base, Arkansas fans just can't even wrap their head around the fact that they lost. Like it's crazy what's happening. They can call me whatever. They can call you whatever. They can call everybody whatever. It's like, you still lost the game.
Just to play devil's advocate, I'd be in the same spot if I was Arkansas fans. You fumbled at the 1 yard line, it turned into a touchdown, and then you had a chance to take the lead with 1:50 to go against an anemic offense, and the ball went off the top of the post. Like, I would kind of just be kind of like, I don't know how I lost that game either.
Yeah, but Jack, what you just said is 10 times better worded than anything I have seen from anyone tweeting tonight.
That's fair. You're getting tweeted at. I'm not.
Jack, what you're getting, what you just said is 100% factual. And I would feel that way too. But if you're going to then come and be like, well, this is what happened, like lay that out as opposed to everything that's flying around on the internet right now. It's like, you guys still lost.
Jack, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Arkansas offensive lineman crying on the sideline after the game went final. Is that a, I lean toward it's not a make fun of moment because it's a guy busting his ass. And
I know.
But Tebow once cried during the fourth quarter of a SEC championship game in his last season.
I know.
He was memed. He was gift. He was made fun of mercilessly. Whoa. And this guy cried in week four. So what do you think?
I was when he was crying. I was like, wait, what's going on? I get four. But that being said, if we're going to be kind of somebody that's like, look at these. I hate to be Frank the Tank, but also Oregon State just went up on USC with 4 minutes and 40 seconds to go.
Oh, God.
That being said, if we're going to get on guys smiling and make it seem like they don't really care, the crying, maybe this game for whatever reason was really personal. Maybe he had a death in the family. But that being said, yeah, should he have been memed? I'm sure Texas A&M Twitter memed him. I'm not sure, though. But, yeah, 4:41 to go. Caleb Williams will get the ball back. Oregon State just scored a touchdown, 14-10.
All right, so that would be we have two top 10 teams that have lost, Oklahoma and Arkansas, and number 7 USC is in trouble late. One more thing before we move A&M. I don't want to talk about A&M Arkansas very much anymore. We'll circle back to them in a little bit. When you ask the best running backs in the country, you might hear the name Travion Henderson, Bijan Robinson, help me, Sean Tucker, Mo Ibrahim,
Deuce Vaughn.
But you would rarely hear the name Devin Achane, and I'm not sure there's many running backs better than that guy. 8.6 yards a carry tonight against an outstanding Arkansas defense. Achane's the fucking truth.
One of the things that he does that's so different, and I mean, I know this is talked about to death as well, but he is an actual like all-American sprinter. So he has that second level that we talk about with running backs a lot. But when you're watching these games, like he outruns every single defender that most running backs couldn't. And we're talking about, like you just mentioned, some of the best running backs in the country that just don't have that sprinter ability to take that next level. Devon Achane is unreal. And I know it's, you know, he's in an A&M uniform, and obviously A&M is not as good as they were projected to be. But when you take what he does for that team, like at one point in the first half, he was like the only guy on the field that wanted to win the football game. And because he can take that next step and that speed, he's fucking unbelievable. And I know Anaiah Smith got hurt, and I hope that he's okay. But when you look at the plays that those two guys made in like crunch time in the middle of the game, like that's where A&M's strength is. And Devon Achane is obviously the leader of that.
All right. Now we move on. We got a lot of good to get to. We're still in the good section. All right. We still got bad and ugly to come. I promise you. Shout out to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. In a Big Ten West that has really struggled this year, Nebraska's awful. Wisconsin just isn't what they've been. Purdue, they're not great. On and on and on. Iowa, not great. Minnesota, chugging right along. And their first big test, they go on the road and absolutely thrash Sparty in East Lansing. And we will get to the Michigan State Spartans in a little bit. But right now, why don't we talk about the Minnesota Golden Gophers? Because they look like a team who could be the team that gets sacrificed to Ohio State in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. One thing real quick, Tanner Morgan, 23 of 26, 268 yards, 3 touchdowns. Is he going to be the best player on the field? Usually not. But if you get that from a ninth-year senior, you'll take it all day, every day. Ibrahim, another 100-yard day. He's awesome. Minnesota looks good.
You want to talk about a meme and like social media. And I know that, you know, Katie was showing it to me. I don't know if we were on the plane or we were still in Knoxville, but you know, at one point Minnesota's yards versus Michigan State had one offensive yard.
227 to 1.
I mean, just
could you say that? Wait, say that again. Michigan State had how many yards?
It was at that moment, it was 227.
To what?
One.
One.
One. Wow. That's crazy.
I remember I tweeted it out.
Katie, why did you answer that with a straight face? He knew the answer to both things he asked.
I don't know. It's tired. I'm late.
It's okay. I'm not.
He's just trolling. Yeah. I answered it too. No, that was the storyline to me. Brandon, you know, you said that they might be sacrificed to Ohio State. First of all, I mean, obviously Ohio State looked incredible today. We'll talk about that. I'm still not convinced that it's going to be for sure Ohio State, but we both said this about Minnesota. And I think that because the way they played a few years ago and, you know, PJ Fleck was the guy and he was doing pizza reviews and then they didn't have a great season after that. And Minnesota fans themselves were like, well, this always happens to us. You know, we had one of the best seasons in our history and then now it's terrible. It was like, we buried that program and it was like, well, they still have a lot of talent.
Hold on. I never buried that program. I never buried Minnesota.
No, I don't think that you buried them, but I'm saying like we were as a collective very, very high on Minnesota. And then last year it was like, okay, it evened out, whatever. And then coming into this season, it was like, but
no, last year they went 9-4. They were really good last year.
She's right. She's right. 19, they had the breakthrough year. The COVID year, they were bad. And then last year they were sneaky good.
Yeah, because they lost the Bowling Green. They lost the Bowling Green. So you're right.
But they were in the mix for the Big Ten West all the way until the last weekend last year. They were sneaky good. Now they're just good.
Well, yeah, in 2019, it was like their best season in history or something crazy. So, yeah, I had one season off. So, like, it was like Minnesota, PJ Fleck, the boats, the whole thing. Then they had a bad season. But, like, they're quietly, and not quietly now after what happened today, like, they're where you thought that they would be. And they do deserve a lot more respect because it's like when you look at the Big Ten, you look
Hold on. Let me stop you there. I'm going to give you credit. Me and you both.
Yeah.
I think both of us had them to win the West this year.
We do. I will be interested to see, you know, when you play the hits with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, what's going to happen. But Michigan State, after what happened with them last year, to beat them the way that they did today is incredible.
You said something interesting there, and I'm going to challenge you because I'm going to spend the next 6 to 8 weeks trying to get this thought out of your head, okay? You said, I'm still not convinced it's going to be Ohio State and Indianapolis. Casey, it's going to be Ohio State. I you can't have watched anything that happened on the football field today and think Michigan has a chance against that team.
No, I don't think that Michigan today, if I was picking who's going to be in Indy tomorrow, what happened with Maryland today would not – first of all, I also think Maryland – you've been high on Maryland. You've been high on Talia. So, like, no. I'm not going to – like, I don't think Maryland was terrible. They were 3-0. I agree with you. However, like, Ohio State – clearly took care of business today. I mean, it was a bloodbath against Wisconsin. I know Notre Dame won and won easily today. I still don't look at Ohio State and like the what they did today in a vacuum. Yes, I still think that Ohio State's can be beat too.
I don't know. I think we might have seen the worst of Ohio State so far. That offense today, and we'll move to them right now.
Wait, before we do. For the Michigan State versus Minnesota, where is it of a Michigan State being ousted as a pretender versus like...
No. It's a good question, Katie. It's a good question.
But I'll
remind you, we have a good section, a bad section, and an ugly section. And Michigan State will reappear on this show.
Okay, so I was looking at like the sliding scale between the two, so I thought it bridged the gap. Okay.
We will answer that question in the ugly section because... fucking woof. All right. Ohio State.
Good.
Good bridge right here because they play a Wisconsin team. And Wisconsin is just Graham Mertz, man.
Remember that first game that he played just, ever and everyone thought he was going to the Heisman?
He never could quite. Graham Mertz just doesn't make sense. Like, who gave that guy 5 stars? Because he's just not good.
He was a 4-star. He was never a 5-star.
Four, five, six, however many stars he got, there were too many. If he got a star, I think there were too many stars.
That's fair.
Anywho, Ohio State just beat the piss out of Wisconsin tonight. And even if Wisconsin's not what they've been, anytime you treat a Wisconsin team like they did tonight, it's an eye-opening experience in my eyes. They look like the team we expected them to look like against Notre Dame, and that has to count for something.
I mean, Ohio State's offense, when it's clicking, is just absolutely – I mean, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. And that was what was so confusing for the first few weeks of the season. And yes, like now it's going to be October next week. So you get the full month of September to look at, and it's easy to, excuse me. I think I'm dying, by the way. You look back and you're like, okay, that offense, you know, wasn't clicking on all cylinders, especially the guys that we were we're going to, you know, like JSN and all these guys were going to be in New York. What happened today shows exactly why Ohio State's offense has been heralded. And I know it's just Wisconsin, but it's still Wisconsin. It's still not some slapdick team. And Ohio State was incredibly convincing today. You are absolutely right there.
Yeah. I mean, they just have this ability. Georgia has this ability to cut your throat before the game even starts. Like the game was 21-0 before Wisconsin was even off the bus. And there's not a whole lot of teams in this country that can cut your head off before you really even get into the game. And when Ohio State gets into that mode, they're special. Like I based on some things that happened around the country this year, I could see Ohio State sneaking about 10 or 15 more number one votes than they had coming into this week. But that's a Georgia question for in just a minute. Now, a couple more goods. The Florida State Seminoles are now 4-0. Jordan Travis is back. Not only are they 4-0, they just absolutely cruised against Boston College, one of the five or six most disappointing teams in the country. But they demolished them, they crushed them, and Florida State has to feel as good 1 month into the season as they felt in the last 8 years, 9 years.
I would agree with that. I mean, especially because, you know, you talk about how sad it's been for Florida State fans, but also, you know, in a bigger picture, and I know we've talked about it on this show, but on the bigger picture, not only are they 4-0 and they got their quarterback back and they absolutely handled business against a team, you know, that I don't think I was ever super high on, but Boston College wasn't some team to laugh at either.
I was high on them.
Do what?
I was high on them. I was very high on Boston College. I was wrong.
Right. And they're like, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't something that was crazy. It wasn't like, what are you smoking? It was like, I wasn't necessarily high on them, but I understood why people were. But then you look at Florida State, and not only are they handling business, they have thus far emerged, because we saw what happened with Miami today. We saw what happened with Florida today, and Florida State still 4-0, despite the injuries they had last week. And despite the fact that I don't think anybody expected them to come into this season and be 4-0. I really don't.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody expects them to go beat LSU for one thing. And they did. And now they're 4-0. And I think they got, I can't remember who they have next week, but they're very likely to be 5-0 when they play NC State in a couple of weeks. So it's Florida State. I mean, Norvell was on the hot seat. He has certainly played his way or coached his way off of that so far. And they are, they're feeling
it.
Yep. USC just scored to take the lead over Oregon.
Katie ruined it for me.
I thought he was doing it for work. I didn't realize it's personal.
Brandon.
Yes.
They're playing Wake next week.
Oh, that is true. They're playing them at home. That's an interesting matchup. That's
Caleb Williams to Jordan Addison with 1:13 to go. I mean, they really, what a brutal day for Oklahoma, man. Like Oklahoma fans.
Hold on, Jack. A lot of time left now.
But I just. All right. Okay.
There's a minute 13 seconds left in that game. So
Fair.
I know Caleb Williams just scored a go-ahead touchdown, but let's not crown him just yet. Let's wait and see what happens here.
Wouldn't it be nice if everyone on the planet could watch that game right now?
I swear I was looking for it just a second ago, and I was like, just give up. You're not going to find. I look for it, even though I know it's not there.
Somebody was tweeting us like, are you guys going to be able to watch the game? I was like, yeah, we're going to be recording. And in my head, I was like, I'm going to have it on my TV in my living room that I can see from where I'm sitting. I was like, who am I kidding? My TV's off. I'm not going to find the fucking Pac-12 network.
Well, if you have, I think if you have Fubo or YouTube TV, it's on there.
I have a couple more. I have YouTube TV. I couldn't find it. But anyway, I have a couple more goods, and then we're going to start tearing people apart because that's fun. Maybe the best good of the entire day happens in Boone, North Carolina, which has Boone, North Carolina been the hotbed of college football all season or what?
I mean, I think the amount of times I've heard Boone, North Carolina in the last month has doubled what I've heard my entire life.
James Madison, just a terrific program. They go FBS and they haven't lost this year, by the way. They beat Middle Tennessee State, who, by the way, beat Miami today. They're down 28-3. James Madison goes to App State. They're down 28-3. They win the game 32-28, a remarkable comeback for the Dukes. They're in Harrisonburg, Virginia. It's right on I-81, and it's one of my favorite places in the world because it's about halfway of my drive between here and Mississippi. And right off the interstate, you see their stadium. And for an FCS, well, it's an FBS stadium now, it's one of the most impressive, beautiful structures, one of the most beautiful stadiums you'll ever see for one side of it. The left side of it is gigantic and huge and gigantic and big. And the right side is it looks like you could park your car on there and just walk onto the field.
This is great. One of my favorite, like, low-key Brandon Walker storylines that we have going on, because when you start telling this story, like, I know exactly where you're going to go, and it still makes me smile every single time because I know how passionate about it.
Harrisonburg, Virginia, halfway, got a terrific Chick-fil-A right off the exit, and right across the street, I can buy my Chick-fil-A, go park in the parking lot, and look at that football stadium. I love looking at football stadiums. 28-3, they come from behind, and they win 32-28. Shout out to the Dukes of James Madison. Shout out to Ebo. Great job there.
Did you see Ebo pulled a clip from when he was on the podcast over the summer? Yes. I loved that. I was like, you know, when you have a moment like that, when you're a fan of a team like JMU, you have to bring that back.
Two more goods. Very briefly, TCU stays perfectly on the road, beat SMU, good solid win for them. Baylor goes on the road and beats Iowa State. Iowa State had been undefeated, but Baylor goes on the road and really kind of reasserts themselves as a pretty good team, so good for them. But the biggest, well, not the biggest story in the Big 12, because Kansas State happened later, but Texas Tech, they hired Joey McGuire in the offseason. And to me, this was gigantic today, because not only did they beat Texas, and I don't think this is that big of a deal for Texas. I really don't, because if Quinn Ewers hadn't gotten hurt, I would have certain expectations of this season. But the fact that he got hurt changes things. We'll talk about Texas in a minute. But Texas Tech hires this guy from basically the high school ranks in Texas and says, we're going to hire a Texas legend and go get Texas kids and be Texas, Texas, Texas. Joe McGuire comes in and rallies the troops and beats the Texas Longhorns in Lubbock today. They rush the field in overtime, 37-34. That might not be the right score, but I think it's close. Not only did they do that, not only did Joe McGuire beat them, he also spit in their eye afterwards. Did you see that? He was asked about this game continuing, and he said, well, we want it to continue after they leave, but we know they don't want it to continue, and the reason they don't is because of what happened today. It's one thing to beat the big bad douchebag in your state. That's another thing to beat them and then stick your thumb in their eye on the way out the door. And shout out to Joey McGuire for doing that.
Yeah, I loved that clip just because it was like, you're right. It was just like the perfect moment he had it. I don't know if that's completely accurate, nor do I necessarily care because it's neither one of my teams. I don't see that Texas has just flat out said no to Texas Tech. Maybe they have. I don't know. Again, it's all the moving pieces of conference realignment. We've talked about it. But Texas Tech fans they've been vocal since the move was announced with OU and Texas leaving. This is a really big deal to them because it is Texas Tech is one of those schools where it's like their rivalry with Texas, while Texas thinks OU is their rival, like Texas Tech playing Texas is massive. And so to be able to do that in Lubbock, get everyone throwing the horns down, everyone just absolutely loving it, you know, doing the Texas is back. Like that's a gigantic win for Red Raiders fans, and congratulations. Lubbock is insane as it is. I can only imagine how much fun Lubbock is tonight.
Final score from Corvallis, Oregon. The number 7 USC Trojans have stayed undefeated. A 17-14 win over the Oregon State Beavers. A game effort by the Beavers at home, but ultimately Lincoln Riley continues his undefeated start. Probably a good win for USC because they didn't have their best offensive mojo tonight. They only scored 17 points, and they won a ugly, physical, nasty game, a game that is probably required to beat them, but they were able to win that game. So USC wins. He's undefeated.
And they won the game that Lincoln Riley, our Oklahoma fans, told us Lincoln Riley couldn't win at Oklahoma.
And on a night Oklahoma lost a game that they blame Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's where I was going with my 2 minutes ago, and that was a good point because Oregon State did get the ball to their own like 40-45. They could have tied it, but they threw an interception as a tip. Chance Nolan had a great game, but USC caused 4 turnovers today. I think most of them were interceptions. Yeah, no, Oklahoma fans, it's just a tough night for them. I don't think it really even matters that much. It's kind of a battle within a war. In 5 years, we'll know who won.
The idea that USC is doing this all with an elite offense and not much else, I'm not sure it's going to hold water because they just went on the road and won an in-the-trenches game against Oregon State. And that's a champion's mode of survival. So it's interesting to see what USC is going to be going forward because, man, the further you get in this season, the more wins they have on one side and the less losses they have on the other, they're going to matter at the end of the season, man. Anybody else have any good? Because I think I just went through all my goods, and I'm going to get to my bad.
Syracuse moved to 4-0, barely moved to 4-0. But
they technically are a good. But that was one of the. There's something about a bad ACC game on a Friday night that just feels great. It's like a warm blanket. I was watching, you know, bad announcers, bad plays, bad teams, and Syracuse ends up 4-0. But you know what? 4-0 is all that matters. It doesn't have to be pretty.
There is.
I have one just because we've given them so much shit. I don't know how good it would be, but I do think you have to put Notre Dame on this list. And this is not a shot at Katie whatsoever, but it was like, you know, North Carolina had not lost a game yet. Notre Dame has looked not great. You know, they got the win last week, but to go out there and to beat North Carolina 45-32, and just, I did feel like that was a good step for the Marcus Freeman era. And for as much shit as they were catching, you know, it wasn't just some random team. It was North Carolina. So I do think that was a good, solid win for them today. How much that's going to change, I don't know, but they needed a win like that.
That's fine. And you're right. Good for Notre Dame. I actually had this game in the bad section because a Notre Dame offense that couldn't score against air the last couple of weeks. All they really needed was a trip to the North Carolina doctor, to the Gene Chizik School of Defense, and they got their degree in point scoring because that guy has lost it forever. North Carolina's defense is shockingly bad. And while North Carolina was undefeated, and that's good, it's good that they were winning those games, they were clearly a ticking time bomb waiting for this to happen.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, that's why I said I don't know exactly where you would put this Notre Dame win. However, it wasn't like they won by 3 points or they won by a fluke at the end of the game. They handled their business against a team that we thought was a ticking time bomb. But I think there were moments where Notre Dame, had they lost that game last week, we were saying, is Marcus Freeman going to get fired?
So by nature of Notre Dame's schedule, you know, if you lose that game in North Carolina, like, you're going to be fighting uphill to go to a bowl. So, because they got Clemson coming up, they got USC coming up, they got a lot coming up. This game is very, very tough. Already got 2 losses. So, yeah, they got to get it where they can get it. So,
shout out to West Virginia as well. That was a big win for them.
Shout out to the West Virginia. Oh, yes. Man. I'll tell you what.
I mean, you can talk about a team in an ugly from that game too, but
I have 2 statements about that game. I thought the opening shots of Lane Stadium and the way ESPN presented Enter Sandman on this particular night was about as beautiful as college football gets. They really had these sweeping shots. It was a perfect sunset. They brought the Virginia Tech team all the way from the locker room. They gave us the whole experience of Enter Sandman, probably as thoroughly as they've ever done it. I thought Enter Sandman was in its full glory. It's just really sad for Virginia Tech. Once that's out of the way, there's just a rotten corpse of a football team on the field because that shit stinks.
Mm. Yeah, no, there's no other way to say it. It's a rotten tomato.
And he's in his first year, Brent Pry, so you give him time, but Grant Wells.
Grant Wells. Ugh. I mean, ever since the infamous Barstool game where that Marshall lost to Rice, the face that Brandon's making right now, Grant Wells has been a broken quarterback. So I don't know. I guess in this transfer portal thing where we talk about like, you can go out and find a quarterback. You can also go out and take a shot on a bad quarterback. And that's what happened with Virginia Tech.
Yeah. We talk about, you know, changing your team with a quarterback in the transfer portal.
You can.
Got to be depressing when you miss.
Yes. Grant Wells is a perfect example of that.
It is depressing when you miss.
Before we go too much further, can I go back to my game? I just want to say a few things.
Yes.
I would respectfully disagree with Casey. He was saying it's a good win. I think it's like another Cal win for them. I don't think UNC is very much a ticking time bomb, and we've been very accurately depicting that. Like, I know the spread was only 2, I think, by the time kickoff. They should have won by more. Like, I think it's still a testament, the fact that we were even able to score on them at a certain point. But
yeah, the reason I say it's a good win is because Notre Dame has looked terrible. I mean, they lost to Marshall. They almost lost last week. So like, to beat North Carolina by double digits like that with a spread that was only 2 points, I do think that's a good win. How good? I don't know. Yeah. I'm not like, you know, raising their banner anytime soon, but I think the way Notre Dame has played throughout the season, to go out there and actually put the points up on a team who was undefeated, to me is a good sign for Notre Dame.
Well, your point.
Asterisk with undefeated.
Any win at this point for Notre Dame is a good win.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
I'm also the point that I'm genuinely considering disavowing UNC football until Gene Shalit
is
fired.
Katie,
I'm so out on it.
Don't do it, Katie.
Where is he going?
Oh, is there like an animal or something in there?
The TV turned on. We can't hear it, Brandon, so you're fine. But
yeah, but I could.
Oh.
I got this weird TV. I keep it on the PlayStation at all times because I watch YouTube TV through it. But then sometimes the PlayStation will turn itself off, and then the TV will say, oh, he's not watching anything. And then it'll put it on like educational TV. And I woke up this morning and I was watching something about the lost city of Atlantis. And
they want to give you subliminal messages. So when you sleep, it teaches you stuff.
I like to sleep watching Macho Man Randy Savage in WrestleMania 3.
And your fan noises.
And my fan noises, yes. Okay, now, the bad.
Look that you have in your eye, the crazy look you got going on,
tells
me you've got something cooking.
Before we get to the bad, I have a questionable bad. So, we have sucked their dick for 3 weeks.
It's in culture now, it's called dick riding.
We have been dick riding. We have been dick riders for this team for 3 weeks after they beat Oregon to sleep, after they beat Samford, after they beat South Carolina. We've been just all up on Kirby Smart's dick, just riding to our heart's content. Well, you kind of have to throw up a question mark after today, right? Like, Kent State. It's Kent State. They're not even a good MAC team, and they hung with the Georgia Bulldogs, the number one team in the land, for 4 quarters. Probably not a sign of concern, but maybe, right?
See, I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
I'd draw this comparison to how Clemson's defense did. Like, okay, he's like, is it a one-off? Is it?
Like, yeah, like, no. Okay, Katie, that's fair. There's a big difference. And giving up points to Sam Hartman and Kent State.
Yes, that's why I didn't say it's comparison, not the same thing.
Also, I can't even believe you brought this up. I don't care about this. They outgained them by 200 yards. They had 530 yards. They had 3 turnovers. There was never a doubt who was going to win this game.
Nobody, nobody ever said there was a doubt they were going to win the game. But for a team that beats Oregon 49-3, for a team that beats Sanford 33-0, for a team that beats South Carolina 48-7, they had shown zero vulnerability all year. They had shown zero weakness, and they showed a little bit today. They showed at least a little bit of rust. They showed a little bit of ability to not play at their best. That has to be something. We have to talk about that.
Ugly. Very ugly.
Yeah, they hadn't been ugly all year. Jack, I understand that they were never in danger, but if this game had been against Kentucky, maybe they would have been.
Yeah, I guess it's just like, I'm with you. We have to talk about it. We're a college football podcast. But I think there's sometimes teams, like we were just talking about, do we hold Clemson too high of a standard? Like,
but Georgia forced us to hold them this high standard by the way they played the first 3 weeks. I mean, we did not have them in the upper echelon with Alabama, or at least I didn't, with Alabama and Ohio State at the beginning of the year. And they forced their way in that conversation by absolutely destroying teams for 3 weeks. And then they show up today and they sleepwalk. And they had not shown that in a while. It's just interesting to note. That's all.
All right. No, yeah. Let's write it down.
To me, it shows that they aren't, like, I think that going into this weekend, it was like, you know, and Jack brought this up and it was a great point. It's like, you know, we're almost discrediting Alabama because of how good Georgia has looked. It showed that they do have the capability to sleepwalk.
Yeah. And one more thing, Jack, you said they outgained this team by 200 yards. Well, goddamn, I hope so. I mean, they're the number one team in the country and they were playing Kent State. Like, that's the expectation. So I'm going to footnote it. And when we look at their season as a whole in 3 months, I'm going to say, that one didn't matter at all. Or that's, I'm going to say,
I don't think it's going to matter whatsoever. But had they gone out and beaten Kent State by 45 points today, we would have said the exact same thing we've said for the last 3 weeks, which is like, well, Georgia comes out and beats the shit out of everybody and they're the best team in the country, where at least there's a little bit of a pause. Do I still think they're the number one team in the country? Yes. But there is a little bit more of like, okay, they're not this whatever Brandon, what do you say? Like 800 pounds of gorilla.
Gorilla with a chainsaw for a dick. Get it right. And listen, I still vote him number one with a bullet. No problem there. Just footnote. That's all.
It's also, it's not even a look ahead. They have Mizzou, Auburn, Vanderbilt coming up.
LSU's the greatest football team we've ever seen in college football, at least a top five. They almost lost to a 7-5 Texas team. And they made John Reese Plumlee look like the greatest quarterback in the history of college football.
Jack. You're talking about Texas and Ole Miss. You're not talking about Kent State.
Well,
it's just a footnote, Jack. I'm not saying this is where the Georgia dynasty crumbles. I'm just saying I didn't think they had that in them.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
They might sleepwalk for the next few games.
That was the questionable fan. What do you mean they might sleepwalk? They play Auburn and Missouri the next couple of weeks. Did you see that barn burner of a game between Auburn and Missouri? By the way, the next on the bad list is Auburn and Missouri. Fucking gross.
Do you think that
so gross?
I don't think this helped Brian Harsin's job security.
No. He's done. He was either done tomorrow if he lost or done soon. He's done soon.
100%. But like at first I was like, if he loses 100%, it was such an ugly win.
All this proved was no matter how bad Auburn is, Jordan Hare has ghosts in it or is haunted or has some sort of mojo. There's no reason Auburn wins that game. Missouri, I don't know that I've ever seen a team get as close to winning multiple times and still pull out a loss than I saw Missouri today. Jack, they missed I don't even want to call that a chip shot field goal. That was a gimme putt of a field goal.
I don't know how you missed it wide right. Like, there's not enough time for the ball to go up in the air and go to the right.
What was it? It was an extra point, right? It was maybe like 20 yards?
I think it was just beyond an extra point. Yeah, and then I think the more egregious one and more unlikely one was the fumble into the end zone.
Missouri is Auburn has already kicked a field goal in overtime, right? And Missouri has to score a touchdown to win, kick a field goal to tie, and if they don't do either, they lose. Missouri's at the 20-yard line. Their running back breaks through the Auburn secondary, gets towards the corner, is going in the end zone, and just drops the ball. And that's how they lose a football game.
Elijah Drinkwitz in the post-press conference, man. There's some times when you feel bad for a college football coach. That was one of them. His hair was disheveled. I think he was just like, there's nothing you can do about that. That's just like one of the most brutal things you can go through.
Yeah, you know, like you can see coaches are down bad, and then you can see that it's like not just down bad because they lost. Like he's just going through it. He's going through it like big time.
Yep.
Okay, now once again, this bad, I'm not sure this portends to tell the story of this team down the road. However, I think it's interesting that Michigan had the worst non-conference schedule in the entire country, and the second they played a team with a pulse, they didn't exactly look great. They won the game 34-27, and that score might be a little misleading because I think they were up two scores and Maryland scored late. So they handled business. They won the game, but they
also were given 7 points off the bat.
That's right. Maryland fumbled the opening kickoff, and Michigan scored very quickly. So Michigan started the game on a 7-0 lead. But for a team that just they're number four in the country, I'm not sure that inspired a whole lot of confidence from me. Now, again, that's a footnote. I'm not saying Michigan's bad. I'm not saying Michigan's not as good as we thought, but they didn't exactly look like the fourth best team in the country, in my opinion. But again, I've been high on Maryland all year. Maryland's not a bad football team.
No, they're not. And Talia also had
Talia's good. His receivers are good.
Yeah, so. and we talked about this on Thursday, Jack and Katie, I think, or maybe it was Tuesday. I can't remember. Again, these long days are running together. But where it's like when he makes mistakes in what he has in the past, they're usually against teams like Michigan, like Ohio State, where everybody's paying attention. He has like, you know, 3, 4, 5 turnovers, whatever it may be. He played really well today. My question for you, Brandon, and I know that this is, you know, a bigger picture with Michigan. They did not look like the number four team in the country, you know, in a vacuum. Absolutely not. Do you think, and this is to your point, do you think that this is why a very, very easy non-conference schedule, which it is, Michigan fans, which is okay to say. It's okay to say it. It was very easy the last 3 weeks. Do you think that this is why that's such, this can be a detriment? Because had they had been tested in week 1, 2, or 3, maybe they wouldn't have struggled early on the way that they did. Or do you think that this is maybe just who Michigan is?
No, I mean, it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, Michigan probably isn't the, you know, far and away better than Maryland, but it also could be Maryland is better than we anticipate. Like Maryland, I think, is going to be good. I think they could be an 8-win team. So we'll figure that out down the line. I just think Michigan does itself a disservice playing the three teams it played, and they don't do it every year. This was just a – this year, next year is kind of a weird thing for them. But playing a preseason like they played, there was a moment today where there had to be like, oh my God, this is okay. Well, we really got it. This is real football. So we got to figure it out. And they passed the test. So good for them. But we'll figure Michigan out in the next month or so.
You know how you know for a fact it was a real moment? Because, you know, we can only go off of what's in front of us when we're on that show, because like we're on the show, so we can't be watching it. Whenever Dave starts doing his spin zone on, well, hey, you know, Maryland's undefeated and Michigan just went up on them. That's not a shtick for him. Like that's what we were seeing happen. Cause we weren't in front of the game. It was like, okay. Like even Mr. Michigan man over here is realizing like, oh, we're actually playing a real football team today. No offense to the other teams. But when he starts that spin zone, you know that that's what's happening.
Let me add one more good as it's happening right now. Last week, they had a big win against a team that we'll get to in a minute once again. But the Washington Huskies are about to go 4-0. They are thrashing Stanford at home right now, 31-7. Michael Penix, 211 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, continues his incredible start to the season. So shout out to them. They're one more good. A couple more bad. I had UNC giving up 45 to a Notre Dame offense that couldn't score on anybody. And I have the Washington State Cougars. I don't know if you saw this game. They were up 12 inside of 6 minutes. And inside of 1 minute, they were down double digits. I don't know that I've seen a team go into a shell and get scared to win a game more than this team did. And it got me to thinking, because I watched Tennessee kind of do it too. Tennessee was up 11 with 5 minutes left, and Heupel unplugged his offense. He just said, let's just run it, and then we'll get out of here. And he almost lost the fucking game. And Washington State did lose the game. They couldn't run an offense. They lost the game. And it got me to thinking about what happens when coaches make these decisions. I don't know what – there's some sort of psychological thing, because the team you're playing who's down double digits to you, they're still playing to win the game. They're still playing with the end goal to win in mind. Whereas your team is playing just to get the clock to zeros, and it's an epidemic in college football where coaches don't know how to handle that situation. And Washington State's coaches, I thought, failed their kids. And there was a lot of things. They fell behind by one score, then threw a pick six, and then they end up coming back. Weird game. But Washington State blew a 12-point lead against Oregon in the last 6 minutes. I just said a lot of words, but I hope there
was I agreed with your words. I agreed with them. There's definitely a –
Jack, were you able to watch that game?
Yeah, no, I mean, I watched the full game. I agree with you. One of the aspects of coaching that we don't talk about a lot, we talk about how does a team, a coach when he's behind, how do we talk about a coach from an offensive or defensive perspective. We don't talk about a coach with how he handles leads, and that's probably why it's probably one of the best things that a Nick Saban does, or even a Kirby Smart, or the best of the best, because if you know how to handle when winning,
yeah,
it goes without saying. It's something you don't really consider. It's like, what do you do with when you have all this right. money? It's why people go broke. It's like, you don't know. Most people don't have the discipline to be like, oh, you have to save this much, do this, do that, and then be aggressive with certain amounts of your money, da-da-da-da-da.
That might be the truly elite coach, the coach who absolutely can be 100% trusted with a 7-point lead in the last 3 minutes, who doesn't play to protect that lead. Casey, I apologize. Before Jack spoke, I cut you off. You were saying something and you probably lost it, but my bad. That's on me.
No, I don't. It's fine. It's 1:07 in the morning, Brandon. It's okay.
Okay. So we move forward to now the ugly. You guys can enter. If there's any more bad, you guys can say it. We're going to get to all the scores in just a minute. But the ugly to me is a 2-horse race today. And I'm going to allow Jack Mack the spotlight on this. The Michigan State Spartans, if you're going to spend all year, if you're going to give a guy $9 billion, if you're going to spend all year inundating our timelines with Tuck Cumming, you got to be better than what you've been the last 2 weeks. They get destroyed at home by Minnesota. Jack Mack, your thoughts?
No, this was embarrassing. I thought Minnesota was going to win a 21-17 classic Big Ten game. But what has happened to Michigan State is quite frankly embarrassing. They gave $95 million. I would be, and I'm almost to the point where I'm giving myself credit for having like not a backbone, like some morals, because I'm looking at Michigan State right now and I feel bad. Because I think a lot of Michigan State fans are going to wake up tomorrow morning and be like, wait a second. We just gave $95 million, which, by the way, Michigan State doesn't have that type of money. All right? This isn't Texas. We gave this amount of money to a coach who's 20-16 as a head coach in the NCAA. And he tricked us into thinking he's this great, amazing coach because, like, if you take away his wins against Michigan, I know that's tough to say, but let's just say the J.J. McCarthy fumble goes a different way or the COVID year goes a different way. You look at Mel Tucker as someone who has gotten blown out, ran through by Ohio State. He's a secondary coach and nobody knows how to cover on his own team. Everyone says, oh, he's so great at the transfer portal. If he's so great at the transfer portal, why can't he find any secondary members?
Well, they had this huge problem last year. They had no pass defense. And I read the numbers earlier, but Tanner Morgan, a good, solid game manager. But Tanner Morgan, again, 23 of 26, 268, 3 touchdowns today. That's not really something Tanner Morgan's going to do to a lot of teams. He did it to Michigan State.
And this was at home, Brandon. This was not.
Not only at home, Jack. Not only at home, but in a put your nuts on the table situation. You went out west last week. You got embarrassed to Washington, and you come home for your conference opener. You better put your nuts on the table and say, all right, well, this ain't happening to us. Not only do you lose, you get embarrassed. Listen.
Now, I get why, like, if I was Michigan State fan, I'd be like, you guys were just talking about, PJ Fleck, and then how you, like, why can't the same thing happen there? That's fair, but Minnesota fans didn't spend an entire offseason completely attacking anybody that said anything about Mel Tucker. Guys, in the month of June or July or whatever it was, the Michigan State football account tweeted out a picture or video of Mel Tucker 30 times. The Alabama account tweeted out a picture or a video of Nick Saban twice.
Yeah.
And guess what he did? He embarrassed his team. He embarrassed the school. And this was after he said, well, I'm a shit football coach right now. What are you tomorrow after today?
One more thing. In the Big Ten as it's currently sitting, the Big Ten East is a monster. And if you play in the Big Ten East, then getting a game against a Big Ten West opponent should be manna from heaven. You got to take care of business when you're from the East, when you're a contender in the East against anybody from the West. Because you, if you're not going to beat Minnesota at home, what are you going to do against Penn State later and Michigan and Ohio State? There's a lot of problems on that schedule coming forward.
Well, and Jack, you know, I laugh because I love your pettiness with Michigan State fans. But, like, you are also, like, you have your pettiness with them and you have your war with them. But then you were also very realistic when we went into it talking about, you know, the Big Ten preview when we were previewing all the conferences, was that Michigan State was going to have a disappointing season because of how high their expectations were. So all the things that you're saying, while it's very funny because you're adding that extra Jack Mack spice to it, it's completely fair because when they beat Michigan last year, it was like they had won the national championship. They throw that money at Mel Tucker. If that's the case, like, you can still lose games. Teams are going to lose games.
We yes, see that all the yeah, time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't get embarrassed the way that they did today against Minnesota. While Minnesota is a good team, it's not Ohio State. It's not a team that you expect to be embarrassing team. So, like, that's why I love this war that you have with them, because not only is it funny, it's also based in reality. Like, this is not – like, you don't pay a coach that much money – to go then get absolutely embarrassed by a team they shouldn't be getting embarrassed by.
Yeah, I mean, Mel Tucker got an extension. And since then, I mean, he got...
Extension, Jack? The motherfucker got one of the biggest contracts in the
country. They got Jimbo'd.
They treated... We make fun of A&M giving money to Jimbo. At least A&M has all the money in the world. Michigan State must have... I don't know where they found this money. Maybe they're funneling it through a children's hospital. I got no idea. And they also got a payout for Larry Nassar and whatnot. That was an unneeded shot. I'm just going to say that as well. Unneeded. I didn't have to go there. But all that being said, Michigan State, Mel Tucker, embarrassing. It was 34-0. 34-0.
Yes. Okay. All right. As bad as Michigan State was, as embarrassing as that was, there was another team that I think plumbed the depths a little further, that embarrassed themselves a little bigger, that kind of shit the bed a little stinkier.
Can I guess?
It's got to be obvious. You've got to know who it is, Casey Smith.
Miami?
After going to College Station and losing a hard-fought game to Texas A&M last week, that happens. And you come back, and I'm going to save part of this for a segment we're going to have later in the show at the very, very end. So to come home and let Middle Tennessee State not come in and beat you, but to come in and just play like highlight roulette on you. Like, they had a 69-yard touchdown, a 73-yard touchdown, a 98-yard touchdown. There was no heart. There was no fight back. There was nothing from the Miami Hurricanes. And this is a team that I've been singing from the mountaintops. I like this team. I like the way they're made up. I like the coach. I like this. I like that. And they completely threw it out the window with a garbage effort on Saturday. Woof, Miami. That was as embarrassing gets.
And hand up, you know, like, I was with you on thinking Miami was going to be like a contender in the ACC. And I know, you know, we do this every single week and we say it's not going to matter, you know, if they fix and win every single game. But I mean, just Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, just what the hell happened today? And I know that, as you know, if you're a Miami fan, you're obviously down tremendously over this, but like, really though, what happened? Why did they go from what we thought they were going to be and what Tyler, like, it wasn't like they were like winning games by the skin of their teeth. And then it was like, okay, like, maybe Tyler Van Dyke's like serviceable. Tyler Van Dyke was supposed to be this incredible quarterback. And what the fuck is going on?
No, there's no other way to say it. What the fuck is going on? Like, he got benched against Middle Tennessee.
Don't understand. Like, it's not a situation where you see a team that's just squeaking by and their quarterback is like, well, if they just had their guy, they'd be okay. Like, they're supposed to have their guy, and he got benched in a game like today?
I'm going to save my comeback because I'm just going to give you a spoiler alert. That particular subject is my shit list in a minute.
Bookmark it.
Earlier in the year, you had Miami winning the ACC.
Well, obviously, I don't now, Katie.
I was not trying to do that. I was going to lead to like where you see their ceiling is now.
Well, I have no idea.
I incomplete. I got to see how they bounce back from this shit. Because right now, I would say that the team I saw on Saturday ain't compete. They might not win another ACC game. I know they're going to bounce back and be better than that. Let's just see how far they bounce.
And what was going through my head was how Tyler Van Dyke was saying there's no atmosphere. I'm like, if you thought you didn't have one, oh, you're definitely not going to have one.
It's crazy that he... Well, oh, he was going
to... How the fuck am I supposed to know that?
You stole my line! You stole my line. It's okay. It's all right.
What happened?
I accidentally read his mind.
Yes, that's exactly. It's fine. It's fine.
Hey,
I'm just trying to get away from that subject so fast.
Okay. Sorry. Get away from it. You calm down, sir.
No, I'm fine. I'm good. That's not an actual.
We talk about Northwestern because they might be worse than Colorado's.
Do you think it's possible that they could fire Pat Fitzgerald?
He's like grandfathered in. I feel like you need another two.
This was Southern Illinois and they've lost Duke, I think, and Miami, Ohio.
I think it's what, half a million?
955,000.
Someone. Oh no, sorry, that's Miami to Middle Tennessee.
That would make sense.
All right, I'm going to go through the scores in the ACC. The Virginia Tech Hokies lose to the West Virginia Mountaineers, 33-10. On Friday night, Syracuse beats Virginia 22-20. You guys can stop me whenever we reach a game we haven't talked about and you won't talk about it. Clemson in overtime, double overtime, 51-45 over Wake Forest. Kansas beats Duke 35-27.
Thank God.
Louisville 41, South Florida 3 in a game that I guess probably happened. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Pitt beats Rhode Island 45-24. Just not sure Pitt's what we thought they were going to be. But
That was a show of respect from Narduzzi to his alma mater school, URI. And he was just showing he was talking very, very highly of URI coming into the week. I don't think he wanted to beat them 58-0.
Notre Dame beats North Carolina 45-32. Middle Tennessee State 45, Miami 31. UCF 27, the rotting corpse of Georgia Tech 10. Somebody put Jeff Collins out of his misery already. NC State 41, UConn 10. They must have
UConn
put
covered.
The brakes on there because I think NC State was in bigger control than that. And then Florida State 44, Boston College 14. We move to the Big 12. Hi. West Virginia, again, I said that. Kansas 35, Duke 27, Baylor 31, Iowa State 24. Again, Baylor number 17 in the country. They go beat an Iowa State team that was 3-0. Good, solid road win for Baylor.
Good, solid win, and it goes further into what we've been talking about with the Big 12 this whole episode. It's just that, like, just kind of, like, threw everybody in a bag, and, like, we talked about if Baylor loses this game, like, boy, are the wheels off the rails for them. And, like, they won convincingly, so it's like, well, now where do you put Baylor into it?
Let me say this. You tell me a bad team in the Big 12?
No, because like
you can't.
Because your go-to is always Kansas, and they're not bad.
Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, Texas, Oklahoma State. There's not a bad team in the Big 12.
No, there's not.
Yeah, you could have pointed to West Virginia, but they are not bad.
Yeah, they're not bad. Texas obviously loses 37-34.
You too high on Texas. Where's your meter at now?
This isn't Texas to me. This is Texas with a backup quarterback, and they shouldn't be losing to Texas Tech. I agree. But when they get Quinn Ewers back, they're going to start building what Texas is going to become.
Yeah.
And this is a year that I see when they get him back, I think they could run the table.
So you guys are waiting for Quinn Ewers, basically.
I think that the story of Texas football is the story of Quinn Ewers this year. If he gets back, I really think they could run the table.
When, like, I unless I missed it, and Jack, you'll know this better than we do because you, like, you're obviously, like, the pulse of the internet. Have they said when he's supposed to be back?
He traveled and dressed.
Right. That's why I'm so confused.
Maybe next weekend. I don't know if they have it off. I know the weekend after is OU, Red River Shootout. So I would assume he's going to play against Oklahoma. I would be shocked if he didn't.
And that is just suddenly super interesting. And like if his first game back is Oklahoma, they win that.
Do they have a game next week? They may be off.
Yeah, they're playing versus West Virginia.
Okay, I mean, that's a decent game to bring him back.
Right now, what would you estimate the line for the Red for Texas OU?
Oh, all right, who's my quarterback for Texas?
Say no, Quinn Ewers. You have Quinn Ewers confirmed.
Pick him.
Yeah, or Oklahoma.
What would it be without?
Oklahoma by 7. I just think Oklahoma. Maybe a 4.5. In the Big Ten, Illinois 31, Chattanooga nothing. That's exciting. Michigan 34-27 over Maryland. Penn State 33-14 over Central Michigan. I wonder if Penn State's going to go ahead and keep moving up into the top 10 this week. They're 14 right now. What's that?
I think they would almost have to, right?
Well, I mean, you had obviously Arkansas lost ahead of them. Oklahoma lost ahead of them.
They'll do it by default, not by their own means.
They deserve it.
I think their own means have happened. Their own means didn't happen today, but have happened over the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Minnesota 34-7 over Michigan State, and somehow it wasn't that close. Cincinnati 45-24 over a previously undefeated Indiana. Iowa 27-10 over Rutgers. The game with the lowest total in modern history goes over.
When that field goal hit, there's like 7 of us in the office just groaned all at once.
Ohio State 52, Wisconsin 21, final score. Purdue, I don't know what to make of Purdue, man.
Without Aiden O'Connell, I think.
Still, FAU 28-26 over Florida Atlantic. And then Miami of Ohio. Is this the same Miami of Ohio that we saw get beat 78-1 against Tennessee? They beat Northwestern 17-14. That boy, Northwestern. Oh my God.
Yeah, where do that them versus Colorado? Who's worse?
Colorado's worse because Northwestern at least has a Power 5 win that I'm not sure Colorado's capable of getting. Yeah, it's bad. In the Pac-12, Oregon beats Washington State 44-41, Cal 49, Arizona 31, USC 17, Oregon State 14, UCLA 45, Colorado 17. As of right now, 33-15, Washington over Stanford. As of right now, Utah just having their way with Arizona State 34-6. Have I missed a conference? I didn't say the SEC, did I?
There's one game I want to highlight in the G5.
Right, we're going to get there. Let me do the SEC.
Cool.
Georgia 39, Kent State 22. That's the score of the game we previously mentioned. Auburn 17-14 in a game that, if it were in the wild, we'd put both Tigers down, to be honest. Well, we would. I'm sorry.
It's bad. It'd be
like they killed Siegfried or Roy.
Damn.
Mississippi State 45. Bowling Green 14. Bowling Green, probably one of the best G5 teams. And Mississippi State handled them easily. Mm-hmm. Will Rogers, 6 touchdowns. 38-33. Tennessee over Florida. Ole Miss. They didn't look great either. 35-27 over Tulsa. A&M 23. Arkansas 21. Kentucky 31. Northern Illinois 23. They're the new Arkansas. Kentucky's not a top 10 team in this country. They're just not. We'll get to that later. Alabama 55, Vanderbilt 3, in a game they insist on playing every year, even though I don't know why. South Carolina 56, Charlotte 20, and LSU 38, New Mexico nothing. Jack Mack, what's your G5 game?
I know you mentioned Colorado's being the worst Power 5 FBS college football team. FIU lost 77-0 today against Western Kentucky. And Western Kentucky is a good G5 team, but nothing like, oh my God, greatest team ever. 77-0. FIU is in the shitter big time.
That's troubling. Yeah, that's
Especially for a team that, I mean, like Butch Davis had them beating Miami, what, 2 years ago? So, but yeah, that was the G5 game I wanted to highlight.
All right, group, everybody get ready. Yes, Casey.
Can I give Jack a shout out really quick?
No.
I'm going to. Okay. Jack, you're over. You're Fordham
over. Oh, yeah, man.
Beautiful.
Yeah, if there's something out there that I really need to pat myself on the back for, Fordham in Ohio, I told you on this program, was going to have 100 points in it, and it had 110 points in it, and the over was only 70.5. That was the most beautiful over ever. It was easy. So,
I mean, I was watching it like on my phone with Katie, and I was just like, he said they would quite literally score 100.
And they
did. They're going to score 100 points.
All right. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. So, Casey Smith, who won the week?
I am going to say I think that the beautiful team, well, I should say I don't know if it's a beautiful team. Let me start this over. Braden Walker, I think that the beautiful city of Knoxville, Tennessee won the weekend. Not just the Tennessee Volunteers as a team, which obviously was a huge win, but I think that all the hype going into this season, and you know, they are sometimes the butt of the joke. It's like, oh, it feels like 98, the whole thing. The hype around the game, getting over that hump and beating Florida in a close game, Hendon Hooker shooting way up the Heisman rankings, and them just getting that signature win in September to set them up for the rest of the year. I think Tennessee fans have every right to feel like they are on top of the world right now. It was the marquee game. I know there was multiple marquee games, but it was definitely the marquee game in the SEC today. And if I'm a Tennessee fan, I am feeling very good today.
Jack Mack, who won the week?
I'm going to give it to PJ Fleck and Minnesota. They went in and reestablished themselves as a Big Ten contender. I know they may be the one sacrificed to Ohio State, but that being said, great job by them and big win. And they deserve all the props, specifically Tanner Morgan.
Katie Stats, who won the week?
It goes Joey McGuire and Texas Tech.
Nice.
I think he had, I honestly listened to half of it before I sent it off because I thought it was that good. But his post-game locker room speech was just like counting us off, keep on practicing, we have our shit together. Just, especially when you have first-year head coach who, not like, first-year new head coach, not like a Lincoln Riley to USC, that kind of questioning where they come from. And then they have that first signature win that's a huge upset. Well, huge, use huge as you will, but just like good for him. Like you want to give him a hug and be like, you did it.
Especially with Texas leaving too.
Yeah.
Yes. Huge.
Y'all, I hope we sell a bajillion horns down shirts today.
Yeah. Shout out Dana B. That was the greatest horns down in the history of horns down.
It was pretty funny.
In front of the cheerleaders and Bevo. I mean, amazing.
Braden Walker, who won the weekend?
I'm going to go with former Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez.
Ooh, good one.
A guy that has been a punchline for a lot of college football pundits and fans over the years. Was able to get away from Nebraska. He went through it last week. They didn't play well. And he responds by having the game of his life, going on the road and putting up some of the more memorable plays we'll see this year. Third and 16 in the fourth quarter. He's leading by a touchdown. And he breaks off a 50-yard run. He looked like a complete winner, a complete champion, and he took down a top 10 team on the road. And this was a quarterback. He's long been a guy that you saw potential in, but something just never felt right. And you saw when he took down top 10 Oklahoma why it has that potential. All right, Casey Smith, who lost the week?
There are so many different ways I could go with this, and I feel like this one is – like I've almost talked myself out of it, but my answer was going to be the top of the Big 12. The issue is now that Jack pointed out, there's not a bad team in the Big 12.
I think I pointed that out.
Or whoever pointed it out, Brandon. Sorry. Again, right. Yeah, it's 1:30 in the morning. Okay. But the reason I would say that is because I think that the Big 12 going into this weekend, it was very clear. It was like, you know, especially if Quinn Ewers was coming back, it was like, Oklahoma and Texas, I think, were most people's pick to make the run to be the Big 12 championship and then potentially be in the playoff. Oklahoma State's still there, obviously, but now there's not a clear-cut winner. And I think that because the Pac-12 is so much stronger, the ACC is clearly more balanced. We know about what's going on at the top of the SEC, but still there's questions there. And then the Big 10, like the Big 12 itself today kind of showed that there's a little bit of wiggle room of how all of these teams are decent enough to beat each other, which could potentially be a problem in the long run. There's just not a clear-cut best team in the Big 12. And I think that that is cool week in and week out as a whole for a conference. You definitely want to have a best team if you're going to put your best foot forward. So it's like they didn't lose the week, but they kind of did because nobody really stood out as the best.
Jack Mack, who lost the week?
Michigan State and Mel Tucker. We talked about it already. Embarrass themselves. No other way to write that one.
Katie Stats, who lost the week?
Brian Harsin. I mean, I feel like he continually loses it, but this week, oof, just that was tough to watch.
I almost think that son of a bitch would have been better off just losing and go ahead and getting it over with.
They should have just fired him in the offseason, yeah, man.
Like, she's right. He even by winning, he lost. Oh, you know how bad you got to be to lose when you win?
Did you see the postgame presser? And he was like, our biggest struggle right now is keeping the noise out of the locker room. It's keeping our players together. That's a red flag for me.
Well, yeah, because the noise exposes them.
Like, yeah. That's the blame game.
Yeah.
He is on the hottest seat you can possibly have without being ejected that I've seen in a very long time.
Listen, the SEC is crazy. It takes a certain breed of coach, certain breed of guy, and Auburn especially. It's the craziest of the crazy, and Brian Harsin's just not an SEC coach, and that's fine. He just needs to probably jumpstart his career, go out west, go get Arizona State or something like that, and start over.
Yeah.
Who's your top three hot seats right now?
Oh, it's Harsin. It's
Neil Brown.
No, nah, not anymore.
I think Neil Brown cooled his off.
Elijah Drinkwitz is up there.
Yeah. I think he has another year. I think
we're missing an obvious one, by the way.
Jeff Collins.
Jeff Collins, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you think Jack mentioned earlier? Do you think Pat Fitzgerald?
Probably not. But I think Jeff Collins and Harsin are beyond hot seat. I think they're fired and waiting. I think they're done.
Neil Brown cooled his off, but did he really cool it off that much?
I've heard they can't fire him because of money anyway. So,
it doesn't really matter.
There's a team that Brandon, we should like. This was something that I wanted to talk with you about because you've always kind of been a truther of this team. There's a team out west who's really starting to lose their grip on something that they claim that they had that you may have said they didn't have, and that's Boise State losing to UTEP on the road after getting blown out by Oregon State. They're to a point of where they're just another Mountain West team now. It's not like, oh, Boise State. It's like people are like, oh, they lost to Oregon State. It's not that bad. No, back in the day,
yeah,
Boise State wasn't losing to Oregon State.
They fired the OC.
They weren't. They weren't, and they certainly weren't losing to UTEP, and they certainly weren't looking as feeble as they did.
Yeah, like feebly.
I mean, they couldn't move the ball. They couldn't do it. Bachmeier he had promise as a freshman and sophomore, and he is god-awful. And Boise State is like Nebraska. Nebraska, once they lost that eliteness, it's hard to get back because they're in the middle of the country. Mm. They can't get Florida recruits and Texas recruits like they used to. And they've been struggling to get elite back. Boise State had something going on out there. They had something special. Once that special is gone, it was a miracle to get it in the first place. It was a miracle to get people to go to Boise and get the best recruits on the West Coast to go to Boise in the first place. Now it's gone. If the cat's out of the bag, he ain't getting it back. So Boise, to me, is done. Done as a top program.
Plus, they have a blue field.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, no. But if they play in the Barstool Bowl, like we'll definitely support them.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah, no, that goes without saying.
Brandon Walker, who lost the weekend?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. He's gearing
up for this.
No. There's several candidates.
Well, there's a ton of candidates for this, yes.
The Oklahoma Sooners. The Miami Hurricane.
Hurricane.
But I wouldn't be true to myself if I didn't say it was just fantastic to watch Arkansas lose a game when they're in the top 10 fraudulently. And they even won a game. They lost a game where they were the better team statistically. And they have been DMing me tonight saying, oh, well, yeah, you won't even say that we were the better team. We have better stats. You know why? Because about 9 months ago, when Mississippi State outgained you by 200 yards and the refs gave you a win, you were still in my DM saying, suck it, Brandon. So suck it, hillbillies. Sorry, you lost. And guess what? Alabama's coming in, and then you got to come to our place, and you got to go to BYU. You're a good program. You've come a long way in a short time. You're going to go 8-4 this year. You're a good team. You're not what they told you you were, okay? Everybody's going to go through that first loss. I went through it last week. Everybody's going to go through it. But it was just wonderful to see Arkansas lose to Texas A&M. Now, shit list time. I would like to go first.
Brandon, you can go first. Brandon Walker, who is on your shit list?
The Miami Hurricanes lost to Middle Tennessee State, but that's not why they're on the shit list. If you're Tyler Van Dyke, and I don't like putting individual players on this thing, but I'm going to make an exception here. If you're Tyler Van Dyke and you go to the press this week after losing to A&M and you say, well, you know what? I actually like playing road games better because we don't have a good atmosphere at home. If you say that as the marquee player and talent on your team, and as the leader, the de facto leader of your team, you then have to go home and give your fans a reason to come to games. You got to give them something to hold on to. You got to give them saying, if you come out and see us and support us and cheer for us and give us an atmosphere, this is what you're going to get. If instead you come home after saying that you like road games better than your home crowd, if you come home and shit the bed to the point that you get benched in a loss to Middle Tennessee State, that is a failure of leadership, a failure of talent, a failure of being the leader that the team needs, of being the starting quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes. This is a good player who was great last year and has greatness in him somewhere. I don't know what happened this week, why he said that the other day, but if you're going to say it, you got to back it up. And because he didn't, Tyler Van Dyke, shit list number one.
Yeah, I have to say I would not have put those things together like that, because when I saw that quote, I was like, well, he's kind of right. Like, we talk about Miami
being right. He is right.
But you can't then go do what you did. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, in, we saw that come out after we had recorded. And so it was like, oh shit. Like, you know, he's stirring it up, but he is speaking facts. You can't say that and then do that. So I like that, Brandon. Congratulations. That was a good one.
Oh, I know.
I know.
What's your shit list?
My shit list is probably a pretty easy one. It goes off of who you said lost the weekend. Mine would be not the Arkansas team, not the, and by the way, I know you guys were talking about it earlier, not the guy who cried. I'm all for crying on the sidelines. If you want to cry, go on with your bad self. We all cry. My shit list would be the people on the internet that simply show their asses every single time they lose. It just so happens to be in my mentions, I'm sure your mentions, Unnecessary Roughness mentions, the Arkansas Razorbacks on social media. Because anytime that you have an opportunity to show your intelligence, to show that you can argue, to show that you have a point, to make anything of a case, this would have been the night to do it. And not only did you double down on being the worst social media fan base, you're continuing to do it because you don't have any intelligence to come back with. Now, I have a lot of friends who went to Arkansas growing up in Texas, growing up in the DFW area. They're fine people. I don't know what this sector of Arkansas Twitter is, but they are horrendously bad at Twitter. And all the people that are coming at me tonight, you know, this random, you know, like sector of the internet that thinks that, that they are important, they're not. So my shit list is, if you have an opportunity to be loud on the internet, at least do it with a little bit of intelligence.
Fair enough. Jack McGuire, shit list.
All right. This was something I think you guys missed because you guys were on the show.
Yep.
But there was a decision at some point during whatever meeting between the ESPN, college football, baseball, and whatnot, to cut into games to show every Aaron Judge at bat, and they would go box and box. There was even a play in the Texas Tech game where they did like a graphic where it was like a transition from the football game to show both of them, to show the baseball game and the two boxes, and they missed the plays in the middle of the play. No one saw the full play. And it was not a critical play, but it was ridiculous. They even did it in the midst of an important play. And I think Sam Hartman threw a touchdown at one point. And what did Aaron Judge do? He struck out and hit some ground balls. Now, there's nothing wrong with Aaron Judge. He's a great player. He's one of the best players in the MLB, without a doubt. But when I watch a college football game, I want to watch a college football game. I didn't tune in to see Aaron Judge chased the record that isn't even really the record because Barry Bonds hit 73. So whatever, that's my shit list.
Jack, I just really quick, I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually going to ask you because we were on the show and we were traveling, so we weren't seeing it. I was going to ask you if it was as bad as the internet was making it seem because, you know, the internet makes things bad worse and good better sometimes. So it was that bad. People weren't over exaggerating.
It was just, it was insane. There was a point, there's a clip on the Barstool Sports Twitter that you have to scroll back a bunch. But if you if anyone wants to go see it, there was a play in the Texas Tech game where they literally, there was a transition in the middle of a play. You missed the pass being thrown, and somebody caught it on Texas Tech. And then also, they knew it was so bad that in the overtime of Clemson and Wake Forest on ABC, they didn't cut to Aaron Judge because they knew they would get so much shit for it. So it was just like, I get it if he hit it, and it was like, hey, guys, here's the home run that was hit in a moment where there's a timeout or something.
Yeah, like save for an ad break.
Yeah.
Be like, but hey, in the past few minutes, you missed this.
That's my shit list.
Katie Stats, shit list.
Gene Chizik. But you know what? So I said it before. It's expanded. It's going into more of the football program as a whole for hiring him, making decisions. Like, why? There's nothing's happening. And I get, like, you can't do anything in the middle of the year. But at least show some improvement. Show signs of life. Show you're doing something. Like, we could be walking out five-year-olds. I'm going to say this right now before I take this back. If Gene Chizik is there next year, if there's an additional code DC, fine. I might not be watching UNC football.
I don't blame you.
Imagine
but I
what
don't
it's like to be a UConn fan.
I know.
No, credit to him. But like, they at least have a new code. It's mind boggling.
Well, before we get out of here, I do have one thing left to say.
I also do, so I feel like yours is probably something that we should end on, but can I also say something really fast?
Sure.
We have to give, and I wrote this in the group text, we have to give Drew Selinsky a shout out for helping your sister, the nicer, calmer Walker right. sibling, Dana and Glennie, mm-hmm. to get on Kyle Field over the weekend because everybody was in Arlington. Everybody that I knew was already gone. And he apparently is a gigantic roughneck, loves the podcast. That's and right, so he right. helped those guys out in College Station. So shout out Drew for showing why Aggies are good people.
Okay, fair enough. Now, congratulations to all Aggies everywhere. Congratulations to you, Casey Smith. It was a great win for you. But
thank you.
I, for one, would like to go ahead and welcome you to Hell Week. Your overrated asses are about to walk into Starkville and get exposed once again for the frauds and the pieces of crap that you are. You're coming to Starkville and you're catching an ass whipping, and this win over Arkansas, this win over Miami, it ain't going to help you, Smith. It ain't going to help you because Jimbo sucks. The Aggies suck. You suck. Hail State. Mississippi State's about to beat the shit out of Texas A&M.
If I could take every single one of your cowbells and throw them in the Hudson River, I would, one by one, and I would videotape every single one and send it to you on a random day. I hate those fucking cowbells. And listen, I am not super high on A&M, but I will tell you this thing, Brandon. I will tell you this. We are going to beat you. We are going to go to Starkville, and we are going to beat you.
Uh-huh. Are you? Are you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Last year? You were last year, too, weren't you?
Do what?
You were going to beat us last year, too, huh? Huh?
No, I think we had already lost to Arkansas by that point.
Well, you lost to App State this year.
I know, but should we make a bet on it? Because usually this doesn't.
Fuck no.
That's what I thought. So you're so convinced.
No, because me and Betts on this show don't work. So we ain't tempting that devil again.
This is your witching week every single week. And I will say, I mean, I'm just pointing out the obvious here. And Katie and Jack, you know, you guys can maybe be the deciding vote. But if Brandon is so convinced that he's going to beat the shit out of A&M, I feel like he should have to put a bet on it. But
put your money where your mouth is.
No, we can't. That's illegal.
Not the expression, like with yes. some deed. Or
we are. I assume we can just say we're going to be streaming this game. I don't know what to do with the cowbells, but I'm already dreading a week from right now when we're sitting in Hoboken, the headache that I'm going
to
have.
We should get you some soundproof headphones, like how they have for babies when you go to a stadium.
Yes. Can we?
We're going to look
into All right. That's next week. This is this week. That's another week in college football. Shout out to Noah, who's going to have to spend the next hour editing this and getting it out for you guys. Shout out to everybody else. I think we can end it right there.
Longest show in a while.
Longest show in a while, but it was a hell of a week in college football. That
we love you.
We love you.
That is unnecessary roughness.